I actually have another fellow podcaster next to me.
That is true. But it's interesting for me to see which direction it's going to go to. Planning the episodes out, who you want to have, what you're going to do in different social media channels, like use that time for that.
How would you say should they go about marketing their platform? What's the best way to get their name out there?
When I got my first income from there, I was probably about 15, 17,000 unique listeners per episode. For me, when I made that decision, I had been thinking about it for a long time before starting the podcast. And then I was just like, you know what? Just do it. Did it. And now my life since then has changed completely.
Welcome. Today is episode number 10, our first two-digit episodes. We've got another ice cream. I think this is our third episode where we do ice creams as well.
That's how it should be.
Exactly. It's not a sponsor though. I just buy it every time. So if there's a sponsor listening, if you have any ice cream anywhere in the world, please let us know, or if you know someone that might have. So today I actually have another fellow podcaster next to me.
That is true.
She'll be introducing herself and telling us exactly what she does and how she got into it and what made us decide to come to Bali to do that. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleased to be here. I have a true crime podcast in Finland, back in my home country, in Finnish. So unfortunately, maybe not so many of you guys will be able to listen to it, but maybe some. I started in December 2020, so 3.5 years. And when I started, I was still working as a teacher. I was teaching English, Spanish and German in a high school and then started it as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And it took me about a year. It grew quickly. And after 11 months, I got contacted by this big Finnish media house asking me if I would want it to do exclusively on their platform.
Yeah.
And started doing it exclusively for them. And now I've switched platforms since then. But now it's been, January 2022, I started my own company and it's been my full-time job ever since.
What platform are you on now?
Platform I'm at currently is a Danish startup called Podimo. They are in other countries as well, but it's like a sort of like Netflix for podcasts, subscription-based service.
I'm on Podbean.
Yeah.
Do you know Podbean?
I have my podcast because also obviously I still publish some episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and this. So I actually use Podbean as well for that.
Nice. Did you look into the others as well, or just decided to go with anyone?
You mean Podimo, the one that I'm at now, the subscription-based service, or you mean Podbean?
Like any other publishing platform.
When I started, like as a hobby, obviously, like there's a crap lot of platforms where you can do your podcast in.
Yeah.
Made a little comparison between all of them, and then my ice cream is just melting because I love to talk.
We can cut it, yeah.
But
mine is also, so let's just eat an ice cream until
this
it's finished.
This is the worst idea for Bali.
Hold on to your cones, listeners. We're pausing today's gripping discussion with our true crime maestro for a melting emergency. Yes, Daniel thought it'd be a brilliant idea to bring ice cream on sticks to our sunny Bali recording. And let me tell you, the only crime being committed here is against dessert etiquette. We've got ice cream cascading faster than cliff jumpers at Nusa Penida. We'll be right back after a quick lick and laugh session to clean up this delicious disaster. Stay tuned, and remember, even entrepreneurs can't outsmart the Bali sun or a dripping ice cream. Don't touch that pause button. We'll be right back with more stories and less sticky fingers.
Sorry for the interruption. We had a bit of an ice cream meltdown, takeover issue situation. Sky is falling, everything.
But perfect example. You learn from your mistakes. Next time, we're back to ice cream cups instead of the sticks one.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, as you said, in Bali.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that. I thought I would have ate mine a lot faster. Good thing we stopped. Imagine if we went like 30 minutes of like ice cream running down.
That would have been, good content. Maybe that would have boosted the views.
Still trying to continue speaking.
Yeah.
So we spared all of you guys from that and ourselves as well. So yes, you were saying.
Yeah, the platform. So when I started as a hobby, I was looking at all these different platforms, like which one would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we're talking about these kinds of platforms where I am at right now, because obviously they work based on subscription, etc. So they need to kind of approach you that they want you on their platform. So that's not something you can. Oh, well, some people are lucky. I was in that position where I could choose which one I go to. But obviously, like, you know, you need to have a certain audience already built before.
How big was your following when they approached you?
So in the end of 2021, I think I had about, on average, 25,000 unique listeners per episode.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And now, how much do you have?
Well, obviously, it's a bit different because you are behind paywall. So the numbers have come down a little bit. But in the last year since I moved to the new platform, so January 2023 until the end of 2023, was about 1 million streams. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And you have, last time, I think you said you have over 1,000 episodes now, right?
No, not 1,000. No, I just hit the 100 mark in November. So now we are 115, approximately.
Nice. I'm at 10. We still are far
away. Everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. What made you decide to go in, like, before you even thought of doing it? What was the reason that you were like, okay, I'm going to sit down, record myself, obviously do some research and then record myself? What made that light bulb come up?
It was very clear for me that I'm going to do true crime, because crime has always been like a really big interest of mine. So when I was 15, 16, a relative of mine went missing. And then I started, you know, searching online if there was any information about him. This was back in like 2008 or something. Then I found this discussion forum because they had, you know, been talking about this disappearance on this forum. I found the forum and it was full of threads about, you know, crimes all around the world. And it was like a light bulb moment for me, like, ah, there are other people like me out there who are interested in this. And since then, I've just been super into the genre. When true crime podcasts in Finland started popping up, they were all covering these cases that I already knew everything about. So there was nothing new for me. So I was like, there has to be people like me out there in Finland even that, you know, they already know about these cases. So I wanted to bring something new, something like not as well-known cases as what the others were doing. So that was for me kind of my unique selling point where I started. Cool.
If someone had to go with a podcast, I know the other day you said that you are getting a bit over that. Is that correct? Would you suggest they do something they like? Like, for example, let's say someone's listening and they like sports cars. Should they make a podcast about sports cars? Or should they rather do something so that they don't get like tired of doing something that they used to like, but because it's something that they're doing consistently, they might get tired?
That is a very good question, because I would say that right now the podcast market is really saturated. There is so many podcasts about absolutely everything out there.
And so it's so easy to start as well.
Like, so it's like, that's the thing. Like, I would say that you really need to have a niche. Like a really specific niche, and you really need to be good at it, because we always say, like, no one can be perfect when they start, but at this day and age, I feel like you really need to be perfect already in the beginning, or otherwise people are not gonna, you know, listen to you.
Our niche is ice cream, anyone was wondering. It's not business, it's all ice cream with a bit of a bit of business on a stick.
But yeah, like, yeah, I think it would be better if you can do something that you can then kind of elaborate on or move over a little bit to other topics. It's difficult to do in this day and age.
Yeah, I get it. And I can completely understand, you've been doing this for years and years. So to do that every, how often do you put a new episode out?
So we do 4 times 10 episodes a year. So about 40 weeks.
So after that, imagine how you can get a bit over it. I don't know where I'm going to get before I get like, ah, damn it. I'm so sick of ice cream. I'm kidding. No, that'll never happen.
But at the same time, of course, it's different, because what I work completely alone. Everything I do, research, writing, proofreading. Now, thank God, I have an editor, because I hate editing. Absolutely hate it, detest it. But I do everything by myself. So I feel like if you are doing like an interview podcast or something where you talk to people, every experience is different. You know, it's never going to be the same. So that kind of keeps it interesting and fresh.
And it's, as you said, it's like a conversation. So it's something that I can have anywhere else. If I go to a coffee shop and speak to a stranger, it's exactly the same thing.
And you never know where it's gonna go, so there's that element of surprise also.
I think this is probably a benefit for me, is I don't have to do all the research and stuff. So for you, there's a lot more work that goes into just putting out one episode.
Yeah.
To give you guys a bit of context, we were both sitting at BeWork today, just working, and I just sent a message, hey, let's go on a podcast. So this is like not even an hour, maybe 2 hours before we started recording.
Very spontaneous.
Yeah, it's when we decided to come and sit down and record everything. So there's literally like next to no planning.
Yeah.
So it might be some people will feel like there need to be a bit more value in it, and that's probably what you get from more research and things like that. But for me, I feel like I want the podcast to be more in the sense of it's just a conversation, just to like tickle someone's brain that might be doing something that people in an office somewhere might not have access to. And
absolutely.
Obviously, yeah, in Bali you can walk and every second person walking by will have a very interesting business or job or whatever they're doing, podcast, as you say.
Yeah,
it's so easy to get it. But if you go to New York, every person that's going to pass you is going to work in an office somewhere. I'm sure about that.
Yeah, so. That is, it's a very different environment here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would say like the topic that my podcast is about, true crime, real stories, is very sensitive. So that's why it's also important to have, because my, when I write a script, I read it word to word.
Yeah.
There's no improvisation during my recordings, because you need to really think how you're going to present the things, how you talk about the people, the victims, whoever is involved in the story. So I can't just, you know, if I just go in front of a mic and start talking, never know what's going to come out.
Yeah. Have you ever been flagged? Let's say, for example, a platform says that this is too brutal or too like dangerous. We don't want young kids to listen to this.
Not on the podcast, but obviously then I do TikTok and social media for the podcast, and there, they have been some guideline breaks.
Is it like, probably I don't want to like name options of what it can be and then we get flagged in this video on YouTube.
Yeah, let's not do that.
What about this and this? Get flagged 7 times.
Yeah, no, I think it's just, you know, you need to be very careful with what kind of images you put out there. I think that's the thing. If it's just words, it's not such a bad thing.
Have you ever considered doing something on YouTube?
I have. The problem is that right now I don't have the resources, and obviously also being at this platform, my hands are kind of tied. Yeah. I cannot release that material anywhere else. It's exclusive to them. So
are they like expecting you to have a certain amount of episodes every single time, or is it fairly open for you to?
It is definitely not open. We negotiated now the last time 6 months about what is in the contract, how many episodes. Also, I have certain numbers that I need to hit with every episode every week. So it's, you know, it's definitely a different kind of pressure now than what it was before.
Yeah. I understand that that will also play a role in the fact that it's less enjoyable, because now you're more stressed about this needs to get this many views, and it's not like you can do exactly what you want to, but more what you feel like you have to
do. Of course. And at the same time, you know, there's this pressure now that I need to grow it. And of course, I always wanted it to get bigger and get more listeners, more people to find it. But now there's the pressure that I really have to do that. So it's how to find those ways of doing it. So, you know, now doing a lot more TikToks, different kinds of content on different platforms.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, of course, more work.
Yeah. So if you do like a short form version to try and get traffic to go to the podcast, obviously you're not allowed to take physical stuff out of the episode, or are you allowed to do that?
In like a promotional sense, yes.
Oh, okay.
So for example, if I do an episode, I always do a little short TikTok about it, just summarizing it and then trying to drive the traffic to the platform.
I'm a bit lazy when it comes to my short form. I just snip things out of the, but I guess every podcast do that.
And also you are busy as a bee. You have so many things going on, so it's understandable if you know you don't do 100% with everything.
I do enjoy it, so like it's fun, but sometimes I wish I could like add a camera and a mic for things that's not on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one time, and this I actually got him on as a guest shortly after, I was sitting at Body Factory and having, I think, breakfast or something, but it started to rain. I was like under the roof, but the people that were sitting outside was moving in, but there was no more chairs available or tables.
Yeah.
So I offered the one guy, he can just sit, because I'm at like a 4-seater table all by myself. So said he can sit there. Then he sat down, and yes, we had probably, I feel like that would have been the best podcast episode ever. Like,
Yeah.
we had such a good talk, and unfortunately, obviously, it wasn't. And then, but I invited him on, so a few weeks later, he came onto the podcast. Obviously, I feel like the first conversation will always be the best. The
Yeah.
second one is still inspiring and interesting
But
and
it feels a
everything.
bit more forced because the other one already knows those things about you and so on.
But I did ask him questions that I didn't know yet,
Yeah.
but I do obviously feel like there's a lot of things that we did discuss that I actually want the viewers to see as
See,
well.
you need to start carrying your stuff with you all the
Your
time and
camera the
just be
whole
ready
time.
to record every single second.
We're live 24/7,
Yeah.
non-stop, never stops,
And
and
then
then that
ask for
just
permission after.
okay. So now we've gone to the point where the viewer knows, okay, they can do something that they do like. Maybe it might even be something that they don't have a lot of experience in but would like to have. Then they can do research, do a podcast about it, and then share something like that. So let's go over, I would say, to the platform to make it easy for everyone. I did my research and I felt like Podbean is the best, so I went with Podbean. And you also said you're also on there, so I know there's a few others, but if you guys want to save yourself time, you can just jump on Podbean. If you want to go for any other one, feel free to do your own research. I did have a little bit of a head-to-head with Podbean because they don't account my YouTube views on their system, and that sucks because, as I told you guys the other day, my YouTube views is from one video is now is double the total of all my podcast views
Podcast
on
listens, yeah.
Podbean. That's sad that they don't count the strongest one as
Yeah.
all of that, but according to my research, I don't think anyone can at this point of time add
I
YouTube's
don't think they,
calculations.
because I think they just consider it a different format. Other one is audio, purely audio, and the other one is video. So I don't think it's just, it's not there yet.
That, and also YouTube only released this quite recently where it's not just a video, but it's seen as a podcast video. So that's also quite new. So I think these integration platforms, they don't have the technology yet to look at the stuff that's in a video form to then go over. Let me just make it a bit easier for everyone to understand. Podbean is the platform where you upload your podcast to, and then they distribute it to Spotify, Apple Music, all
So
those.
through the RSS feed, it goes through all the
So
three platforms, yeah.
just to help you guys understand that before I continue, otherwise I don't want you to think, what the hell is Podbean? And
Yeah.
they say I should join that. Is it a community or whatever? Now you know what it is.
But I have to say, that was my first issue when I wanted to start podcasting. I was like, how do you get your podcast out there? Like, I was like, okay, so I'm listening to a podcast on Spotify, but how did the people get their podcast on Spotify? There's no button on Spotify where you can be like, add your podcast. And that was the first when you needed to realize, like, okay, so there are these kind of, I don't know what you would call them, source. Like Podbean is the source, and then it just, distributes it to all these different channels. And that was the first one to realize, like, oh, okay, this is how it works. And then go into the research, which one is a good one, etc. So yeah, I've been on Podbean ever since I started. So
So
good starting
nice.
point.
Yeah, definitely. But I do know that they, when you post the audio, they do post a video on YouTube if you link it up, but it's not a physical video. So it is a video, but it's only audio with a still image. So you can still get that on YouTube, but obviously I feel like in this world now, video might be so strong, and it clearly is in my podcast at least. Video is doing so much better, even though podcast is known for something that's just
Yeah.
vocals. So I feel like if you do a podcast, you actually should go into YouTube for video as well. You don't do video, do you?
I only do the TikTok videos. Like, that's the only visual material that I do.
But on your
But
platform, you can't either.
not yet. So they do these like short promotional ones, but not the full thing. Or there are a few that do the full thing, but it's still not incorporated completely. Like, it's not implements it perfectly. But it's interesting for me to see which direction it's going to go to, because our attention span nowadays is so short.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's easier for people to just listen to audio while they're doing something else.
Definitely.
So then obviously YouTube was, you know, huge back in the days. But now I feel like not as many people have that tenacity anymore to sit in front of a screen and watch a full video. So it's...
But also, I have YouTube Premium.
Yep.
So with that, you can lock your phone and still listen to the video that's playing.
Of course, still. But then it would be the same as if you would be listening to just the audio, just the podcast. Yeah. So that's it's interesting to see where it goes.
Especially with something as long form as this. Someone might be sitting in the kitchen, scrolling through YouTube, looking for something to watch. Now they come across a podcast, so they quickly tune in, start to watch the first 5 minutes. They're interested, but now they have to quickly make some food. So in that case, they can always stop watching but continue listening.
Yeah.
So I think it can also be a good way to get people into podcasting that's never even listened to a podcast before. So
that is true. And in general, I just think like the more platforms you can have your material in, the better.
Because
there's always someone who prefers video, someone who prefers audio, short, long, whatever it is. As much as you can do, much as you can put out there, go for it.
Yeah, that's why we also, on Podbean, it gives you the whole list. We try to get on every single one of them. There's one or two. One said that they're making some improvements, so I'm not sure. I think that was just some crappy excuse for their system not being up to date or something, because they said they will let me know when it's ready and then I can link mine up, but that doesn't make sense. And then Apple... Not sure if Lara was able to sort that one out, but I was struggling with Apple's one. I don't know why. Like, I couldn't get mine onto Apple Music's platform, but that was like every time I type in my password to log in to connect it, it's like doesn't want to accept my password. It's not like it says no, we can't accept the podcast. It's just like I can't log in to connect
it. Just like
it.
A bug or something.
And I went through customer service and everything with both Podbean and Apple, and I couldn't sort it out. But maybe Lara did, I'm not sure. Yes, okay, so now we got the topic that you can choose from. You can literally record with your phone. So easy to record if they want to. Obviously, good quality will always be better. But if you're just starting out and you have no money to spend on anything, you can record on a phone. Any kind of, even some earphones has a little mic on it, you can do that. You can have a conversation with yourself, with somebody else, or you can just speak to the crowd. What depends on what you want your podcast to be about. How would you say should they try and monetize it, and how long should they be patient to know that they are going to work at least for this amount of time without seeing any revenue?
It will take longer than it did before, because like I said, the market is so saturated.
Yeah.
So depending obviously on your topic and on your niche, can happen quickly.
Yeah.
And also depending how you want to monetize it, because like I said, if you do stuff on TikTok and social media and this, you can monetize it quite easily and quickly there.
Yeah.
But if you want to really monetize the podcast and get advertisers on the podcast or get yourself on a subscription-based you know, platform, I think that's going to take a longer time. But I would, and I have to comment on the microphone thing. Like, obviously, you can record on whatever, but at least I noticed from my own listeners, they are becoming very, very demanding with the kind of the quality of the content that they want to listen to. Because there is so much of it out there. So now you really, like I said, unfortunately, you need to be perfect already starting from the beginning, or you're just going to get forgotten. Yeah.
So if, let's put two examples, then you tell me which one is better. Let's say the viewer has no money. Obviously, if you have money, invest in the mic. It's not as expensive. You can get pretty decent mic for like $100, would you say?
Easy.
So that's fine. But let's say you have no money. Would you suggest, let's say option one, is they wait until they have enough money and then they start with something with the correct equipment, let's say 5 months later, and then start from scratch and begin a channel? Or would you suggest they start from day one with imperfections, and then by the fifth month, when they have the money to upgrade, they can upgrade? Will that 5 months, even if it's just a little bit of reach that I could have received in that 5 months, will it be worth the sacrifice of putting in that work and doing something even though it's not perfect? Or would you suggest number two, where you just wait until you can do it perfectly?
Usually, I would say, like, whatever you want to do, do it now rather than later. But in this case, I would say wait.
Okay.
Because I also think a lot of people underestimate, of course, depending again the type of content you're putting out there, but a lot of people underestimate how much work it goes into it, releasing an episode and everything that goes with it. So it's always best to have, a backup. You need like have a catalog of episodes already ready before you start publishing. That's the best way to do it. So then, use that time that you are, saving money for a microphone or whatever it is. Use the time to create, like, make the concept as perfect as you can, planning the episodes out, who you want to have, what you're going to do in different social media channels. Like, use that time for that. And then when you have the funds to actually start doing it, you already have a whole lot of things ready
That's
instead of
very good.
just, jumping, with both feet in the deep
Perfect.
end.
I like that answer. Very good, informative answer. I couldn't think of anything better. I was afraid that you're going to say no, wait until 5 months, but I think that's perfect. Then, yeah, they actually make use of the time, and then when they get starting 5 months later, they don't have to do all of those things that they have already done, like scripting or planning things out. So that saves them time, makes their life and work easier.
Yes.
So they will also enjoy it more because now it's so much easier to do it.
Absolutely.
And then you start off perfectly. And what you said about that you need to have a few ready as soon as you publish. I knew that when I did my research before I started the podcast. I knew several books told me, several videos told me to post like at least three on your first go, post at least three. Daniel was so excited after he recorded his first one, he published that
I did the exact same thing. I
one.
did the exact same thing.
And the first one on Podbean got like 20 or 30 views. I'm like, wow, that's cool. And then I posted the second one and the third one, and then it's like five, six, maybe one view. I'm like, damn it, that's why I should have waited, because then the 20 or 30 that got onto the first one would have listened to the second and the third episode as well, and I could
And
get me
also at
more
the same
views.
time, what is really important, I would say, even if you have the money to buy a good mic right away, don't start doing it right away. I would still recommend scripting it and making the concept perfect before you start doing it, because what the listeners and the viewers want is consistency. You decide, I post every Monday, then you post every Monday. And then if you start now excitedly like we did, and then you post the first Monday and then you're like, oh crap, I don't have time now to create another one for next Monday. And then that's where the cycle starts. So yeah, just make sure you plan it well in advance beforehand, and don't do what we did.
It's a bad podcaster, being
Bad
judged,
podcaster
being
club
judged by
right
the
here.
good one. So my current thing is I post at the end of the week, so I do guess I should have like a specific day, like for example every Friday or every Thursday. But at the moment I've been doing it every Friday or Thursday or Saturday, depending on my schedule and stuff. But I should probably just like record two in 1 week, and then I'm always one episode ahead. So I do think that will be better. I just need to go out and do the effort to actually do that.
Absolutely. And then, like, the bigger the podcast gets, the more listeners and followers you have, the more loyal and more demanding they get. So then, if, for example, if I don't post on a Monday, like I usually do, obviously now I have to because of my contract, but previously I would get messages immediately. If,
Yes.
even a few hours, if it was 6 a.m. that I usually posted,
Sure.
8 a.m. they are like, where is the episode? It's 2 hours that, where is it? Where is it? We want to listen to it now on my way to work. So,
Yes. So did they get like upset or
they
just
get very
demanding?
upset sometimes,
Yes.
yes.
Oh, that's surprising. Why? Can't you just
Because
tell them, hey,
it's,
you go?
it becomes a routine. Like, if
Yeah,
you know somebody
understand.
who goes to the gym every day at 6 a.m. in the morning and then something happens, they can't go, obviously it's going to affect them. So it's the same with the podcast. If they listen to it every Monday on their way to work, it disrupts the routine.
It's the Monday thing. I'm gonna go and sit down today, have a look what time and what day the people watch the podcast the most, and then figure out what day is the best. then I'll try and make a day flat and do the effort to go and pre-record one so that I'm always one step ahead, and then I can always schedule that one for that day.
And that is the best advice I can give, like have that back catalog, because for example, now coming to Bali, the podcast was on a break when I came to Bali, and the season started about a week after I arrived here.
Yeah.
I had 5 episodes, you know, ready, yeah. edited, already uploaded. And I was like, well, that's enough. You know, I have 5 weeks and then I'll just work a bit slower on the next 5. Boy, did that not happen. Like suddenly I realized like, okay, I haven't done any work. And the 5 episodes are now technically already published.
Yeah.
And now I'm stressed again.
Sure.
So really just, it's so important to plan ahead with these things.
That's on my top list for today, along with a lot of other things, but I'll figure something out. So yes, now they have all of that. How would you say should they go about with marketing their platform? What's the best way to get their name out there? I know obviously Podbean does a little bit of it for you, not necessarily for you, but it can bring listeners to you by putting it on those platforms, mm-hmm. but obviously not physical marketing. What would you suggest is the best way for them?
You have to get on social media. That is the only way. You have to, you know, find people who are doing similar things as you are, connect with them, try to, you know, create that network where then it becomes you promote them, they promote you kind of thing. If they are bigger, first of all, have great quality content that people actually want to share it, like without you prompting them to do it. And it's just, like I said, there's so much of it out there now, so much content that you really need to push. It's not just like, okay, I post this and people will find it. Find those Facebook groups for your niche, whatever hashtags people are using, and you just got to push, hustle.
I'm not sure if we got answer earlier. What's the time frame, did you say, that they should try and push even and expect like no income? I remember you said longer than usual. Is that like, let's say 2 years?
Or? Well, let's say, okay, so for me, the first money I made from my podcast was about 6 months in. Mm. So I made collaboration with an audiobook company while I was still on the free market. So made an ad for them and, you know, got some compensation for that. But at that point, I already had 17,000 unique listeners per episode. Oh. So, you know, you really need that audience.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to say, because like I said, true crime is a very sensitive topic.
Mm.
So also, I think a lot of advertisers are a bit scared of it because they don't necessarily want to be connected to something like that. Mm. So, but if you have a more easygoing topic, easy, just, you know, you can contact any kind of company, asking them if they want to advertise on you and start getting a little bit of money out of that. But at the same time, be careful, because if you start doing that too early, the listeners are not going to be there.
Luckily, I get 300 views on a video if I'm lucky, so I can get any advertiser. I'm kidding.
Any ice cream company you want. Yes. Solero.
They're all fighting for it, but we're very picky with them, so we're still looking. Kidding, no, I wish. Would you suggest it will be good for someone to have a product or something that they can maybe advertise themselves in their own podcast? Or
I mean, if you have it, I would say not a lot of people are in that kind of a position where they have both.
But in that obviously, case, guys, join my sales team. Okay.
Yeah, use the opportunity when you have it. Do it.
Sorry, you were saying? I didn't want to chip in. I wanted, but I didn't want to.
Obviously, if I had, you know, I did an audiobook, I did a podcast now with the Finnish Tax Administration, obviously I'm going to mention those. Mm. Because they are, you know, even though they might not create more income for me, it's still something, you know, to put the word out there, get my name out there. So, of course, if you have your own product, something else you're doing, go for it. Okay. Absolutely.
Perfect. So, guys, quick word from our sponsor for this video is Elite Media. So if you want software for your business to help your business grow, just go to my website. It's in the link down below. And then you can subscribe your business to do that. Or if you want a sales job, you can subscribe to Elite Media, to our sales team. That's for free as well. Or if you want to start your own business, you can go ahead and copy what I'm doing with Elite Media, and you can jump on, start your own franchise of Elite Media. If you want Holiday, our other sponsor, we have a second sponsor for this video. I wonder how much they're gonna pay me for this. Probably nothing. If you want holiday accommodation in Cape Town, just go to the link down below. It's Elite Accommodation. You can join us there. So that's our first little sponsored area for this whole podcast at episode number 10.
And high now five. You can negotiate with yourself how much, you know, how much yes. you're going to charge for that.
I'll give myself commission
exactly.
for every person coming on. What would you suggest is the best way to approach a business? Would you
best
just
way
set,
to?
Like, let's say I want to, let's use, actually use ice cream as an example. If I want to get an ice cream sponsor now, obviously I'm not going to do now because I need at least a kind of a good enough following
obviously,
to,
yeah.
for them to be convinced. But how would you approach them? Would you rather send them an email, give them a call, go in person, and then how will you tell them, like sell them on the idea?
Email usually is okay. the best. You need to have, it's kind of like you create a CV for yourself. It's not a CV, like but you have there that your pricing, everything ready.
Like,
you
like
have
a
their
media kit.
Exactly. Yeah. Why should they go with you? What do you do? How is what is your audience like? You know, all of those things. And you make the proposition and then you attach your pricing, the media card already with it. So they all they need to do is take one look at it and they already know yes or no, they can get back to you. You know, at least this is how I see it. If you get an email and then you already know that you need to ask more questions, you are more likely to not answer at all.
Oh, okay.
When you have everything in front of your eyes, it's like yes or no,
easy
decision.
I'll have to create a media kit. If you guys don't know what a media kit is, you can just Google it. We'll show you exactly. You can even find templates and build your own off that. Obviously, first start the podcast and make a media kit before you have the podcast. That's the first thing. Now you know how to start one, you know where to go with your podcast, how you can market it. Is there any other kind of tips or things that you want them to keep in mind when they start a podcast?
Well, this comes maybe a bit later. But the biggest challenge for me was when I started to monetize it, how to define my value.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming from being a teacher.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And the fact is that podcasting is still a fairly new field. So there's not much transparency yet. Mm. People are not talking about how much they are making out of podcasts and also actually many contracts. You know, you can't do it. That was one of the biggest challenges. And I know for the first year when I was on this other platform, I completely undersold myself, completely. And it's you know, you need to know that these people, if you don't look out for yourself, no one else is going to look out for you. I took it, you know, like, okay, this was a lesson learned and not going to happen again. Always, I would say always highball it a little. You know that you have a loyal following and you kind of know where you sit in comparison to other podcasts that are doing the same as you, then always highball it.
Something from the business perspective as well. If you want to figure out the price to sell, especially to a business, that's why our software, I wanted to have something to sell to businesses before the specific reason, is if you have to figure out the price, find out how much money that will make for the business. And then define the value of that. For example, like our software, I know it's gonna make that business thousands and thousands, obviously depending on the business, but bigger businesses like Finn's that I'm approaching now, it's gonna have a massive impact on them. Obviously I can't charge one business more than the other, but when I decide on a price to begin with, you don't want to look necessarily at what this platform is worth. You want to look at what the impact of this platform on the business, what that will be worth. So that's a good way to then look, because any business, if you can charge them $10,000 for something, even though it's a very basic platform, but they will make 10 or 20,000 from it, it's still worth it for them. So they will then pay 10 or how much ever you charge them, because they still make a profit out of that. How many followers or listeners did you have on your first that audiobook marketing thing?
When I got my first income from there, I was probably about 15,000-17,000 unique listeners per episode.
And with the knowledge that you have now, if you could go back in time and tell yourself, hey, charge them this much, how much would
double
that be? What's the number, more or less?
I don't know if I can talk about it.
Oh, okay.
But let's say let's put it this way, if I charge them for 1 minute ad on my podcast, if I charge them 800, I would do 1,600 easily.
Okay. And that's only one episode?
One episode.
Okay. Do some of the clients maybe want like a few in a row, or is that not really?
Yeah, so what we did, for example, with this company, we did first like a trial round. So we did one episode with their advertisement, then to kind of see how much that created traffic for them. And then we did two more later when they were satisfied.
Nice. And do you do it in the middle of the podcast or the beginning or the end?
Because that's called pre-roll, mid-roll and post-roll. So pre-roll is obviously the best one for the advertiser. Yeah. So that should also be more expensive. Yeah. So when it comes before the episode or in the middle.
Yeah.
The post after the episode, no one is going to listen to that. So no advertiser is going to pay for that. So I would say the best is to do it before the episode. So pre-roll, because then you are not going to annoy your listeners too much, because they can actually just, fast forward. If you do it in the middle, people are going to be pissed. that's all I'm saying. They're going to be pissed.
Do you literally read the script for the advertisement, or is it like a piece of audio that you just insert?
I read it depending a little bit what the customer wants. But usually they give me a brief of what kind of things they want me to include, and then I write a script, because obviously it would feel a bit weird if my entire episode otherwise is scripted and then the ad is not, so it needs to still fit with my style.
So thank you. I think the listeners have everything they need now to get started. If you want to start your podcast, please go ahead. Just make sure you enjoy it, because if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't have been making and sacrificing my time. Sit down and speaking to a camera with you guys, not just the camera, there's people behind the camera, so don't worry. I obviously enjoy it. It's the kind of conversation that I like. I love talking business, and especially if what I'm talking might help other people that might be listening to it, then I'm over the moon. Then we get to help more people and show them that there's other things that they can do rather than spending their whole day in a cubicle in an office. They can come and live in Bali, run a podcast, go to B-Work, just sit there, do your work, relax, go to the beach afterwards if you want to. There's so much more you can do than city life.
And that's, I have to say, like, this is going to sound maybe like a little motivational speech, but obviously, for me, when I made the decision, I had been thinking about it for a long time before starting the podcast. And then I was just like, you know what? Just do it. Did it, and now my life since then has changed completely.
Sure.
So, you know, the only thing that what you just said, make sure you enjoy it, because enthusiasm really shows in what you do. And if people can feel your excitement and your enthusiasm, they are going to be more, they're going to be more into it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it really has to be something that you feel passionate about.
You've heard it from the best in the business. We hope to be seeing you in the next episode, in episode number 11. That one will be next week. I'll post on my Instagram exactly what day we'll be posting every
single episode.
Because
now you will be choosing a day, right?
Yes. Now there will be some form of structure, so I'll be more strict on myself. The only thing, when I go to Cape Town in 2 weeks, that's going to be hard for me to find people, but I'll find a way. Because there, it's not like here where I can just ask any second person walking by.
You've got to do your research before then,
yeah. I'm going to have to find out. I already signed up, not signed up, but I have a co-working space there. But I think that's more office people. I don't think that's like digital nomads. Like,
yeah, it's not going to inspire too many people, maybe.
But I'll go to coffee shops where it's like the nomad coffee shops.
Yeah.
And I'll go and speak to every stranger until they throw me with water or something.
Yeah. Just be annoying, as annoying as you can be.
What do you do? Cool, thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening or watching on YouTube or any other platform. We invite you to go and look at YouTube, since that one is doing the best. Down below will be her links to her podcast, if you understand.
Finish.
It's not finished, it's Finish. Then you can go and listen to that. If you just want to go and have a look at it, if you don't understand it but want to have a look at it, feel free to do so. My links will be down below. The sponsors of this video's links will be down below, so you can go ahead and have a look at all of that.
Click on every single one that we're posting down here.
Yes, and like all of her episodes, even though you don't understand it, give it some love.
Subscribe, even if you don't get it, just subscribe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.